the Rise Guys Morning Show.
Say yeah!
You better quit.
I gotta tell him, say, look, man, it's just a, well, that's a great song. I like your song now, but that's a, can we mix them together somehow?
We should have thought of that ahead of time.
Do they decide on music?
Question one. God, this is good. Paige, dance with me. Tuesday morning dance party. The guy's a talent, you gotta admit.
Yeah, he is. Even when he does these diss videos, where he and MGK were going back and forth.
He for the people online that say that he's a clone also, I see it. He does know, either that or he's had some work done to his face. I'm serious. I know people age and they look different, but he just looks totally different. I know his hair is dark now and he's got a beard, but
whenever somebody comes at Eminem, you kind of tend to believe their argument. He's got a legacy to protect. When you think of white rappers, he's the one you think about. Now, there are a ton of them now.
8 Mile.
But when they come and say, well, Eminem blocked my career. That's what MGK was saying. He was trying to hold me down.
Why? Because he's white?
I don't know, I guess. Like, it's more. Eminem would say that he's got nothing against MGK. Like, he just doesn't think about him. He doesn't care.
It could be that weird thing. People said that Sammy Davis Jr. did the same thing to some black singers in Vegas. He wanted to be
the guy, baby.
The one and only.
Yep.
Yeah.
You got to protect that legacy, which is already set. He's the guy.
You know, he was a member of the Church of Satan. It was,
really?
Yeah. Legit. Like, he wasn't. He wasn't like shy about talking about it toward the end of his life. He was like best friend.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Eminem.
No.
Oh, okay.
Maybe.
You're talking about Sammy.
Sammy Davis Jr.
Yeah. Dean could have been, but he was so drunk that.
Like legit, like it's not even, you know, he was kind of vocal about it.
God, he could have known Puritan Instinct, maybe.
Could have.
Or a resident Satanist.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Which is odd. Nothing's as odd as atheism, really. Like, those people go out of their way to make sure you know they don't believe in anything.
Oh. Well.
I don't get it, but whatever.
I always say, if you're ever in a pinch, who do you pray for? Yourself? Dear me, help me through this.
Dear me.
Well.
I mean, that.
There's certain questions that, like, I've wanted to ask preachers, like, at the end of sex, what do you say? Like, or in the throes of passion, you don't ever cuss? Like, you know, you sitting there going, oh, heck yeah, good grief, this is good.
Oh,
ooh, yeah, right there.
Uh-huh. We know what they're going to tell you. You shouldn't be doing it unless you're married.
Well, tell them, judge ye lest you not be judged.
You just go back and forth. Well, thou shalt not spill the seed.
So.
Wow, fat boy.
No, I mean, I know what you're saying.
They go tit for tat.
The emissions of a donkey. That's the one.
You try to talk about that's Ezekiel, right?
Yeah.
You try to talk about that book, and that's how you know if they know their stuff or not.
Yeah.
You try to bring that up and like, oh, we're going to talk about that one right now.
Uh-huh. Like, what's your favorite book? Numbers. I love the book of Numbers.
Not for this discussion. No. Not right now.
You should say Matthew.
Paige, what do you think about a woman who has a neck tattoo?
Be honest.
Don't be political. Depends on the tattoo. Because I have a friend that has one on the back of her neck, and it's a cross, and it's very pretty.
Okay, look at this picture right here. And I'm going to... this will make sense. You see this woman?
Oh, yeah.
Is that not the oldest woman you've ever seen with a neck tattoo?
Yeah.
She's 74. 74 with a neck tattoo.
How does it look? Does it look
old? It looks old.
It's right on her lymph.
Right there, yeah. On the, like, where a vampire would buy.
Yeah.
Oh, is it like a Sailor Jimmy tattoo? Wherever the guy is?
It's Jack.
I mean, if it makes her happy, I'm not judging her for it.
Well, it didn't, because she just shot her husband and killed him over the weekend in Monroe, North Carolina. 74-year-old woman got into an argument with her husband, went in there and got a pistol, freaking shot him dead.
That's sad.
That has got to be within listening area.
With her 38. I mean, this is just like being together. It said they'd been together decades, so I don't know if they'd been married or whatever. They'd lived in that house together for 23 years. And like all the neighbors, like they always saw him walking the dog and riding his motorcycle together and all this stuff. And I mean, this is like,
I kind of looks her up.
Like, it's wild to me to see like an older, what now, who knows what was going on? I'm not saying, you know,
yeah,
it's just startling to see, first off, that a woman, well, even a man that age, still shooting a gun with good accuracy.
That's, well, you know, they keep them close by too.
Well, as they should, if they know how to fire them.
I used to be good at it. I used to be able to.
Well, you ain't 74.
Thank God.
What is that noise?
It's the computer gets, when I click more than two tabs, it gets going.
Well, you shouldn't do pills. Paige.
You can go to hell. I love
it. I just think it's sad, and maybe there's some other underlying condition.
Oh, I know. But then when you see the neck tattoo, I'm like, oh, God.
I'm trying to find it.
Well, just go to, I'll send it to you.
Yeah, because every other site, like, you know, sucks. You show me a ton of ads. Oh, here we go. Let's see. Oh, yeah, there. What, yeah, is it, though?
Yeah, I don't know. It's some kind of like a,
not good.
It's like a fleur-de-lis or something like that. Something to be on the back of Affliction jeans. What's on that woman's neck?
What possesses you to get a neck tattoo ever?
I mean, I don't have one, so I don't know.
Now, job-related, it's not really an issue now. Wherever you work, they're, I guess, tattoo-friendly now.
Yeah, I don't think anybody makes you cover your sleeves because you have tattoos.
Waffle House does.
Do they?
I mean, it was probably 3 or 4 months ago, but they were in there wearing, like, the Jeff Hardy sleeves to cover them up.
Well, I'm surprised.
It was like they're wearing, like, body glove, you know, underneath their little, you know, why do I belittle it? Their little Waffle House shirt. I don't know why I'm belittling it. I love their food.
I love
the entertainment when I go in there too.
Other people are afraid to ask you to cover up.
Well, you
won't. They want you to show up.
Here's the thing, and maybe it's changed within the last little bit. You won't ever see anybody at Chick-fil-A with a tattoo. No.
I wonder if that has changed.
I mean, I'm just telling you what I know about the company, and some, like, you wouldn't be up there with a neck. They're
very good at filtering out who they hire. And who they don't.
Yeah, but like, think about all the people you know with tattoos. And they're like, that's one of those things that's totally changed where it's like you used to. Now, I'm going to be honest with you and tell you, if you have them on your face, I can't tell you that I'm not going to pass some kind of judgment. I'm going to say, that son of a bitch has lived a hard life. It adds to your resume, I suppose.
I'm going
to
at least ask
you. If it's a tear, I'm going to think you're a murderer.
Well, that's what the tears are.
I know.
You draw bodies, you get a tear.
I know, but that's why confess.
You buck 50 somebody, you get another tear.
I thought it was for a year of prison.
What if you had never been charged, though, and you just had the tattoo? Is that stolen valor?
You better produce at least some remains if you're going to have the tattoo.
I mean, it's God. Matt, you... I don't ever say don't judge a book by its cover. I mean, you shouldn't all the time, but a lot of times it's good.
Well, it's just an opinion. Like, people get so up in arms about being judged.
Well, I mean, like, Jelly Roll is what everybody's texting in. Yes, sweetheart of a guy.
Yeah, but he regrets a lot of those, too.
Well.
He's actually has Nashville on his neck, the skyline. Well,
I mean. The
it must have been hard. Now, there was more to work with back then.
Yeah. People texting in Cody Rhodes. Whoever wants to get it done, that's fine. I mean, I just think, like, when you get older, it's gonna be, you know.
Look at Blueface, you know.
Who's that?
Quasi-famous rapper. Goes to prison, comes out. Look at his face tattoos. Now he's a rapper. It's probably what he's going to do for life, you know, rapper.
Is he black?
Dead. Yeah.
Is he? Why did you say yeah? Oh, don't play it again either. Don't play it again.
That's why I was saying it.
Don't say yeah.
So somebody like that who's already got, you know, that lifestyle, I guess, picked out, you don't really have any consequences of having face tattoos.
Oh,
it's not like he's going to end up
my God.
With a corporate job somewhere.
Golly, bum. See, and to me, that just looks like it's like self-harm. Almost like you're a cutter, in a sense. Like you hate your vessel so much that you're just tagging it up. Yeah. Like, at least with this that I see here from Blueface, which the Blue Men should sue him for that.
Like, there are a lot of, like, prison tattoos these guys get. And
yeah.
Just, like, on the face.
It was a good idea, and then you regret.
But then again, you're not looking at it, so it's not really bothering you. But when people see you, they're like, oh, you got face tattoos.
Yeah. Like, I don't, but then again, like, you don't want.
I think you're a criminal.
It's certainly, God, that's so like backwards ass, but it's true. Like, I really do. I really do. And Plums wasn't Jelly Roll a criminal? Then he,
yes,
he
was that time.
Yeah, so see, we're right.
What about the boob tattoos? I don't know if Jelly Roll has a boob tattoo, but you know, what do you think
know.
Of those?
I don't know. I know Big X the Plug does.
Because he never buttons his shirt.
I don't think he can. I don't think it's his thing to do.
Oh, Lord. It's like Rick Ross walking around.
Like, Biggie never did that. Like, he never was, like, fully out like that. I guess he had a little bit of, you know, whatever.
I tell you what, and this is positive. You know, it's a compliment. The black skin hides a lot of those tattoos well.
Yeah, but it also makes, like, I've thought about that, too. Like, and this sounds probably stupid, and maybe a bunch of people have said it, but, like, would white ink go well on black skin? I'm being very serious when I ask that question.
Because see, that is interesting. What colors could you get?
Yeah, like if you're like if you had a lighter complexion, it's a lot easier. Like a lot of the NBA guys, like up and on, down their arms, you can like read, you know, the words on their arms they're shooting. But yep. You know, I just wonder about that. I'd like a black guy with tattoos to please call in.
And
we get this figured out.
A lot of people like to go for the sleeves. They'll cover the whole, like they, it'd be different tattoos, but that's where they want to focus is that one part.
Yeah, like those old tribal stuff that people have all the way down their sleeves.
Remember the guy that we knew that had the spider web on his elbow and he said he was the first person that ever got it and everybody ripped him off? Oh my God.
Oh, Lord.
He was so proud of that. He's like, I was the first person who ever got this.
God, I think even P1 Tomato Man's got one of those.
Yeah, it's a popular one now. It's a popular one now. All right.
So let me get a spider web on the elbow.
Let me look at my phone. Oh, just got a text.
Are they close?
Hey, we are here.
Oh, they're already here.
Yes. Ooh. Okay, very good.
Let me set up. Maybe you'll finally get on the camera like I asked you to do 2 hours ago.
I'm on. Look. Go look at
are you really?
Go look.
Let me look.
Listen to him eat this.
I'm looking at an old neck tattoo. Yeah, there he is.
Uh-huh. It's double birds for you as well.
Look at that.
All right. When we return, we'll be live streaming this on Facebook.com/RiseGuys, and then we'll have it on the rest of the social media later on. The greatest living tag team in professional wrestling, and that's not just me saying it. It's not just Fat Boy saying it. No. I think Bill Actor says it.
Yeah,
I think many other people say it.
Wade Keller, Dave Meltzer.
All of them.
Say yeah!
Gotta do it for the game.
Paige, who hit that button?
She hit it.
Satan did.
Well, hey, whoever's not being
closer worked. Than that. FTR going to be in studio right after this. AEW in town tomorrow night in Asheville.
Tickets
available. All right, we'll talk to those boys next. Good morning, everybody.
You're waking up with the Rise Guys Morning Show.
I love the Rise Guys.
Oh yeah, the Rise Guys in the morning, man. They are hilarious.
This is the Rise Guys Morning Show.
There it is. And here they are. And we're live. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. We got to echo. Hang on a second.
Got to check the reverberation. Is it good now?
Check.
Do we have echoes?
I don't think so. We just got too loud, didn't we?
Dax Harwood, would you say testing?
Testing.
Cash Wheeler, would you please say testing?
You said testing, right?
Testing. Testing. Whatever you want to say. Okay, good. And there we are. We're live streaming this on Facebook.com/RiseGuys, and then it'll be on all our social media this afternoon. It's odd because, you know, Cash, you've called into the show before, and then Dax, this is now third appearance.
I'm not sure. Maybe
you don't keep up with it. Yeah. I know.
Yeah. I don't even know what day it is.
Yeah, well, that's true. That was the day before TV.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Big day.
He left his phone last time. We're like, should we tell him he left his phone?
I know.
See, I don't remember that. I have no idea.
You don't remember that, really?
No.
Gosh.
Yep.
It's like, you know, it's like when a girl says, oh, that was just a summer thing for me. For you, it was like you're everything.
This is your life.
It's like, dude, remember that time when we found his phone in here? And he's
that's
like,
just
I
my
remember.
Thursday.
Right, I know.
Usually,
I know.
When we leave work, it usually is like a little shoulder bag, like,
right.
We'll get back to the hotel, and he's like, oh, I left this. And I'm just as bad, but mine's usually earlier in the day. I'll forget stuff. And his is later in the evening when we're leaving work.
Come up to that microphone just a little bit more. We want to hear it. So, Welcome, gentlemen.
What's up? Welcome. Thank you guys for having us.
Yeah. Oh, this is awesome. This is awesome.
Yeah, I can't believe first time in studio. I've listened most of my life.
Isn't that crazy?
I've never actually been in here.
Remember the first time you connected with us on Twitter the first time, and I'm like, that's the same guy. And then I was like, I put it all together, and I was like, holy crap. And then two and two together, and I was like, well, look at that. That's crazy. So
where do you even start? It's like so much you want to dive into.
Well,
can I get this out of the way? And if I get Shatter Machine right now, then that's fine.
Oh God!
But I've been doing it all morning, so I want to play it now.
Say yeah!
Tell him to stop.
I like it.
That was my favorite part of that music.
Yeah,
you didn't like the harmonica.
So we had two different versions. I don't know if you know that. We had two different versions: one with a harmonica and one without.
Yeah,
and. I think that they wanted us to be more Southern, so they added the harmonica eventually. At first, it was like this hard rock thing, right? Yeah. Southern rock, I guess.
Yeah.
And then they added the harmonica. That's when they started adding in to our promos, y'all and yonder and, you know, get on over here.
They wanted to stereotype us as the dumbest Southern people you could possibly have. God. So it's just like... Let's throw some harmonica and some yonders
in
there.
Which I could have just said, just let me act like I am, and I will be.
Yeah, it would come natural.
Just get us fired up. Let's see what happens.
Wow. Okay. Well, okay. So that's a good question. Secondly, the other question that I don't know if you remembered from earlier, Fatboy, do y'all, now, or I guess now we know in the previous employer, you didn't, but like, do y'all have any say-so in your intro music?
Oh, yeah.
I mean...
Well, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, our first entrance music, we actually hired someone to make the first entrance music in AEW. We hired someone to make. His name is Matt Kuhn, and then eventually we wore a pair of trunks just to reminisce and to honor the Midnight Express and Tony Khan's all that, and he immediately wanted us to have Midnight Express-esque music. So he had his in-house guy, Mikey Ruckus, make the music, and Tony called us in his office to play it for us, and Cash got there before I did, and he sent me a text, and he was like, this music is not good. You're not going to like it. So I walked in, and Tony played it, and when he played it, dude, Tony was dancing around his office and, like, fist pumping. He loved it. So there was nothing I could say anyway, you
sure.
know? But, you know, we did it, and it's now it's just part of our everyday life, it seems like. That, you know, that's the thing. Most of the wrestlers... when they're around us, not even around us, just in general, they'll just hum our theme song because it's so easy and so catchy.
Yeah.
It's something you could dance to. I mean, it's a compliment, you know.
Yeah, like we wore those midnight trunks, and it just made something click for him. And he called us in, and I can't remember where Dax was at that point, but it was just me, like, getting pulled into the office, and he plays it for me, and he's just looking at me so expectantly, like he's so happy. And it's not that I hated the song. I just couldn't imagine how we even walk out to it.
Right.
Like, compared to everything else we'd ever come out to with the Say Yeah and the other music, it's like, how? I can't picture us walking out to this. I can't fathom it.
Right.
But he was so excited. And then when Dax got in there and he's playing it for him, and he's legit dancing to it while he's like holding his phone up.
Oh,
and we're like, yeah, this is our new entrance music. Let's see what happens.
Well, you know, like, they. You know, I don't even know statistically or whatever who was the first guy to or group to walk out to music. I don't remember.
Freebirds try to stake that claim, but I don't think that's accurate. Dax, can you?
Oh yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, I don't know. I've heard Freebirds, but that's from Michael Hayes, and Michael Hayes takes credit for everything.
Oh, I thought you were going to say a lot of drugs.
Well, yeah, that too. But yeah, I'm not sure. There were a lot of. There were not a lot. There were a few wrestlers who did theme music before, but I'm not exactly sure who it was. I mean, I know the Freebirds came out to Freebird, back in the early 80s. But, I don't know.
I tell you what, though, it just made me think what y'all did the last go-around with Dennis Condrey before he passed.
Oh, yeah.
That was good. That was good. I got to meet Bobby years ago at an indie show down in Georgia.
That was nice. That was here in Greenville too. We got to have like him getting the ring and to have that moment to speak and all that. And
yeah.
I watched that after he passed, and I was like, oh, I can't watch this right now. That's too emotional. But I'm so glad that he got to have those moments too.
Absolutely.
And I still have them. Like, Dax sent me a picture of him after the fact, a picture of me and Dennis. But he gifted me a pair of his Midnight Express boots.
Oh, man.
Damn.
And I still have them at the house right now.
Like, yeah.
Every time I see him, I'm just blown away that that's where my life has led me.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
You know, the other time we met Bobby is when we meet him, and then Buff Bagwell walks in butt naked right in front of everybody.
Buff on the Buff?
Full circle.
That was in Easley, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Okay, that was, yeah. That's in Georgia. It was Easley.
That's when you realized that when they called him Buff, it was just about his pecs.
What it was. I was kind of surprised. Like, you were a gigolo, man.
Okay. Buff forgot the stuff.
Pretty much.
Now you know.
We'll take a quick break.
Yeah, we'll take a quick break, and we come back more with FTR. Don't forget, people are like, where are they going to be at? When is it? It's tomorrow night, AEW. It's Harris. Help me out with the
Harris Cherokee Event Center.
Yeah, I don't want to say the wrong name. Harris Cherokee Event Center. Yes.
Correct.
Will we
the
be able
Asheville
to
Civic
there?
Center to the OGs.
Yep.
Right. Yes. Exactly. That's where I was supposed to go see Sturgill, and the damn place got flooded out. You were going to be there too.
I was going to see him in like 2019.
I think that was it.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it has. All right. More with FTR, and we're going to have those tickets for you as well. All Elite Wrestling tomorrow night in Asheville. Good morning, everybody.
Hey, P1s.
Yes.
Talk now at 800-774-0093. This is
The Rise Guys Morning Show.
All right, so here we are. We don't like the music, but we play it anyway.
So no, it definitely grew on us.
Yeah.
How you don't dance when you come out to, you know, on the ramp?
God, like, what would happen if Stokely started carrying a tennis racket? Like, what would happen?
Probably, honestly, we'd get canceled, I'm sure.
Probably.
Yeah. Cornette doesn't have the biggest fan base in modern professional wrestling today.
Right.
I mean, I love him. He's fine with me, you know?
Yeah.
But, I don't know how our fan base would feel about that.
Yeah, I think as far as his takes go, like, some are pretty valid, some are pretty far-fetched,
but
if Stoke did that, we would absolutely, they would try to get us off TV completely, probably.
I love the addition Stokely with you guys. It's an odd balance. It really is.
Yeah, man, he's awesome. I've said it before in other interviews, but I tried to get him with us in the other company back in 2019, but they had other plans for him. And then when he came to AEW, the initial plan was to put him with us. That's why we got rid of Tully. We were going to put him with us, but then all of a sudden we started catching fire as people started to actually like us for some reason. So we never got a chance to do it. And once we beat up Adam Copeland and Christian Cage, we had an opportunity to bring him on board, and it's been awesome since.
I love his dynamic. I love what he brings to the table,
because
he can be serious, but like, he can, even when he's not trying to be, he can be so entertaining. Like,
yeah.
You know what I was kind of curious about real quick? You mentioned the other company. We've heard all the news. They ask people to restructure and re-sign. When you give so much as a talent, like, what do you think when you hear that?
I mean, we were just talking about it downstairs with Matt over here, but it's sad. You know, Tony came along and brought AEW, and he's, you know, AEW in 6 years has blown up so much.
Yeah.
But he, you know, Tony's the reason that wrestlers were finally allowed to get paid what they deserved.
Right.
And you know, it sucks that this company has come along and merged WWE and UFC, and they're making record profits. And they ask the people that are breaking their bodies to take a 50% pay cut. That sucks. For my friends that work there, I feel bad. But, that's why I feel blessed and fortunate to work where I work and who I work for, because he's a stand-up guy. And, he puts his talent first.
Yeah, there's not too many places in wrestling, I think, you can really draw a hard line when you are trying to live this dream.
Yeah.
Do what you want to do on a high level, but that's the ultimate insult to me, to ask you to take a pay cut from an agreed upon signed amount,
especially when your CEO is getting 36 million.
When one man in 1 year made 70 million, do not ever one year one person more than the entire roster combined. Do not.
Good thing for AEW though is, and no one in this room has told me this, but I would imagine there's going to be a it sounds like maybe another good tag team coming to AEW. You guys would That would be awesome. I'm not saying any rumors.
I mean, nobody knows except for the parties involved in Tony Khan. But that's exciting. It's exciting for us because not only, we can say it, not only are the New Day available, but also the Motor City Machine Guns who, in the early to mid-2000s were pioneers. And they kind of like changed, not for me and Cash because we can't do the stuff they do, but they changed the whole course and dynamic of tag team wrestling and what it could be. And it's really exciting. It's an exciting time for AEW to pick up all these this new talent who have a ton of equity.
Yes.
Not just in the wrestling world, but far beyond that. They reach far beyond that in the gaming world and television and things like that. So it's an exciting time for us as a company who right now we're on a huge momentum high. I feel that we're going to continue that and hopefully pick up some extra talents along the way.
Yeah, the value that New Day brings to the table, not just in the ring, but just across the board as people,
mm-hmm.
and Motor City too, but like New Day has always been guys that we've known very well, we've worked with very closely. They were the best for us when we first got called up mm-hmm. to the main roster to work with, and so selfless. And so like those guys are going to be great additions no matter where they end up, if it's AEW or just they do their own thing for a little bit. But the cool thing about AEW and Tony is that he lets us take outside dates here and there.
Okay.
So, like, regardless of where they end up, like, the chance that we could work those guys with, mm-hmm. like, no sort of restrictions is awesome to me.
I'll never forget that debut. And by the way, knocking over the ice cream cart, was that planned or just?
No.
Not at all. Not at all.
No idea it was going to be there. I just saw it and, it just happened.
That was genius.
Yeah.
Speaking of being selfless. I mentioned this to Cope the other day when he was on with us.
That he should be more selfless? Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, he should.
I said, why Asheville? Now, I love Asheville. I know we all love Asheville. But why does he have to come in on y'all's territory?
Yeah, he's a Canadian, import. I did this. I did an interview for WLOS just the other day for the TV show or whatever, and they said, all you guys are Asheville natives. And I'm like, hey, wait a second.
Not all of
us. There are two of us from North Carolina. There's one of us from Canada.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with Canada. I love Bret Hart. I just don't love Cope, and I think he moved to Asheville and thought, he was going to make it his town, and I think he tries to make it his town and keep us in the shadows, but ultimately the hometown boys prevail, and we're leaving him in the dust. We're leaving his legacy in the dust, and I think that's probably, speaking of selfless, he's the opposite of selfless, and I think that FTR's legacy has easily eclipsed what he's done over the last 30 years.
I'm hard pressed to argue with that.
Yeah, exactly right.
I really
can't even look at the TV. Don't even want to look at it.
Well, I mean, when you look on the one side, you see a couple, has-been tag teams.
This is true.
Close to never were, is honestly.
I mean,
And if we're what have they ever done?
If we're being honest, in modern day, those two tag teams wouldn't be who they are. They wouldn't have the recognition they have without us. I mean, one of the teams made a name off of calling us FTR.
They really did.
And the other team is a nostalgic act that just came back and said, oh, we'll hitch our wagon to these guys and try to ride their coattails, which they have very successfully and got two great pay-per-view bonuses out of it. But my hope is that after Asheville, this 10-man tag, and then we roll on to New York City for the pay-per-view. My hope is after that we can just let them go, have a nostalgia tour, do their greatest hits, and then ride off in the sunset. That's my hope.
Get them out of our tag division.
God, that's well said.
We are the heartbeat of that tag division, and we want them out of there. So beating them in New York where they can never tag again.
And when Helene started, Cash, you were the guy that started that GoFundMe that really, everybody caught on to before anything else, and you were saying you actually started that standing in the middle of the street as all this was happening.
Yeah, being in this area, I don't know if anybody else that listens knows of Old Fort, North Carolina, I lived in, born in Asheville, lived in Swannanoa until I was four. We moved to Old Fort, lived there my whole life until I moved to Florida for the job,
Yeah.
So, being back home and then seeing the walking through Old Fort where there's still water flowing over Catawba Avenue, mm-hmm. our main street basically, it was just shocking, legit standing there in shock. And it's the only thing you can do, and I'm not the biggest fan of social media. I try to stay off there a decent amount these days, but man, when it's good, it's so good. And that was my first thought was, if you have this platform, you have this reach.
Absolutely.
Like, this is the only thing I could think to do right now is to get word out and to get money for these people. Mm-hmm. And man, the power of social media on that one was insanely beautiful to watch, because I think my initial goal was 2,500.
Yeah.
And it ended up being like 74,000 or something like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Plus, Tony Khan, I mean, sure, the guy's worth a gazillion dollars, but like he donated like $100,000 to the company as well, right?
So what we did was, initially the event here in January of last year wasn't supposed to be in Asheville. It was supposed to be in a bigger market. Like, he wanted to do either New York, or he wanted to do LA, because it was going to be the first time ever that we were simulcast on TBS and HBO Max.
Yeah.
So he wanted there to be a big market. Like, he wanted to say, from, you know, Los Angeles, California. Yeah. But when the hurricane happened, he thought that this would be a great opportunity to bring awareness to Asheville, North Carolina, and also bring a lot of support from people all around the Western North Carolina who would come in and, you know, spend money at the businesses and spend money at coffee shops or little, you know, small boutiques or whatever. And so what he did was he brought the show to Asheville in January, and he donated over $100,000 to Mana Food Bank, to Beloved Asheville. There were a few other ones. I can't recall them off the top of my head right now, but he donated over $100,000 just to those businesses, along with donating money to Cash's GoFundMe, and along to, you know, with doing things behind the scenes as well. And so that's what we're trying to do. Bringing AEW Dynamite back to the Harris Cherokee Center is, we want to bring these thousands of fans to wander around downtown Asheville and Absolutely. Spend the money there and you know, bring some economic impact to the community, because now Asheville is finally starting to recover. We were talking about this off the air.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of things are opening back up. A lot of things are looking a lot better now as far as like the businesses coming back and finally getting everything cleaned up. And so our hope is to show the people in the last 16 months how much Asheville has changed, and hopefully continue to bring an influx of people to come and vacation and spend their time here with their families and things like that.
Oh, it's on the bounce back. I was there about a month ago, and I swore I smelled pot when I was downtown. I don't know how that works with the dispensary, but yeah, it's on the rebound.
No, I don't think that was pot. That was probably a dead skunk or something.
Right.
That's just the aroma downtown. Now. That's
what it is. It was either a dead skunk, pot, or cash.
Now, the other thing, too, is, you know, we're not sitting here being detrimental to the competition or whatever, but, like, your tickets are very affordable. I mean, like, very affordable. I'm comparing
They start at $20.
I'm comparing that to, like, concerts. I mean, we have one-hit wonders coming to town. They're, like, $89 for a ticket. I mean, this is, like, hours and hours of entertainment. Well worth the $20. It's starting at $20.
That's one of the things I think is the coolest about AEW is just, again, there's a variety on the show. There's something for everybody. There's really good wrestling. There's really funny stuff. There's just a little bit of everything. It's what wrestling should be, because wrestling started from the circus.
Yeah.
It's supposed to have a little bit of everything for everybody, not just what I like, what you like, what he likes,
right?
What she likes. So it's cool. Like, it's really cool seeing like our boss try it all, and he's really willing to do, like, if you can convince him or pitch this idea to him, and he's on the fence a little bit about it. Yeah. Like, if you can sell it to him, he's willing to listen. So like, he's not just, this is what you're doing, this is what I want, go do it. He's one of the coolest guys to work for, too.
He's also a very underrated businessman, too. You got to think about it. Not only does he own AEW, he owns part of the Jacksonville Jaguars. He owns part of Fulham, the soccer team.
Yeah.
And so he knows business, but I don't know if I've met – I know I haven't met a boss or someone I've worked with before, but I don't know if I've met a human who puts family values above everything else. If I let him know that my mom or my dad is sick or down and out or something's happened to them, he begs me to take off and go see them. But I think ultimately, well, you know, Tony is worth $13 billion, but that's not the reason that ticket prices are so low. I think it's because he wants families to come out and enjoy themselves and have fun. And you know, it's a night they can bring, you know, the wife, the husband, the kids, yeah, and the kids' friends out and not break the bank. And I think he gets more pleasure from that than, you know, an influx of hundreds of thousands of dollars in a one-night event.
Let's say that the Cope is in his vehicle right now. He's probably listening to Alanis Morissette, but if he's not, tell me another Canadian.
You're right.
What would you say to him right now? Like, just you guys talking to him and tell him what's going to happen tomorrow night.
If he's listening, I would imagine that his wife is also riding with him. And the first thing I want to do is apologize to his wife for dropping her on her head in the pile driver. That was not my fault. I just got slapped in the face by her. But his wife is a very beautiful woman, and she's a very well put together woman. So she's in the car with him. Beth, I would like for you, if you don't mind, and I'll give you the opportunity to maybe one day become my mistress, just grab the wheel and pull the wheel off the side of the road, because one, I promise you, the wreck that's going to happen would be less damage than what's going to happen tomorrow night in the 10-man tag. And two, if something detrimental does happen to Adam Copeland, then, like I said, I have room for a mistress. I would have to talk to my wife about that, but I think she'd be okay with it. And so life would just be completely better for you, and honestly, better for Adam if he went through a wreck instead of the match tomorrow night.
God almighty, man.
So I would just say.
Ditto. Damn it.
Hey, thanks for everything. I appreciate your mentorship throughout the years when I was struggling and trying to work my way up the ranks in wrestling. But I think he only did that because he was retired forcibly by the neck injury. And otherwise, he's too selfish to ever do anything to help benefit somebody else. Mm. So, hey, while he didn't see me as a threat then, thanks for all the help. But now that he's back, and now that he realizes that he's not going to be able to take our throne, sorry, but we got to do what we got to do. And you can go off. And if Beth doesn't grab the wheel and yank it to the side, go out and enjoy your life with your family, enjoy your retirement, and stay away from our tag team division.
And, you know, and really quick, another thing about our boss, while we're putting our boss over, whatever happens to Adam, whether they drive off the side of the road or they have the match tomorrow night, whatever happens to him physically, our boss is such a great boss that he will keep his commitment and pay him his full contract. So it really doesn't matter, Adam. Just take the time. Even fake an injury, dude. Just go away and you'll get paid. You'll be fine.
Take care of the wife and kids, Adam.
Yeah. I want to drive up the mountain now and just give him a shatter machine right off of
him. Oh, my God. That was solid right there. All right. Get your tickets. You can get them at Ticketmaster. You can get them at the box office.
AEWTix.com.
AEWTix.com. And then the event, because I say it wrong and I want to say it right. The event location is the Harrah's Cherokee Center.
That'll do.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Show's at 7:30, but get there early.
Yep.
Yeah. I think doors open at 6 or 6:30. Yeah. And then, like you said earlier, we have a few matches taped beforehand as well. Mm-hmm. You know, and a lot of our young and up-and-coming talent who maybe haven't had TV exposure, you'll get to see them and support them as well. But then I'm not exactly sure what match that FTR will be on, but whatever that is the main event. That is the drawing card. That's the reason people are coming to see the match. Who knows? It could be opening 8 o'clock, could be crossover 9, maybe main event around the 10 o'clock hour. So just show up, and when you see us, even if it's early in the day, don't leave. Support the other people. Support the Chris Jerichos who need all the help they can get. Support the Shelton Benjamins and the Bobby Lashleys of the world who are still trying to make a name off of FTR. Just support those people, and don't just come out to see FTR.
That's right.
Get there
early. Get some concessions. Get some popcorn. Get some drinks, whatever. Buy some T-shirts. And then get to your seat and watch a great night of wrestling, because you're going to get your money's worth. I've never met a guy more so than our boss who's so enthusiastic about just as much wrestling as possible. So you're never going to get shortchanged.
Come out and see Cope's last match.
It's going to be.
Come see his last match.
We can only hope.
The unofficial retirement.
RIP, please.
Gentlemen, absolute pleasure to have you in. Both together, first time ever.
I'll never forget it.
Me neither, man.
Whenever you want to come back, just walk in. It don't matter. Who's going
to
tell
I'm going to turn around to this wall as soon as we leave, and I'm going to mark out Jade Cargill's name. No, I'm not a fan. Okay. I'm not a fan. I see Gunther's name up there, too. I might scratch his out, too.
You know what's crazy is, I thought about doing this. I asked, and I'm going to call him by his right name. I asked Cash years ago. I said, who is the most problematic person backstage? And this is who he said. Do you agree with that?
She was always nice to me.
Yeah.
So I won't disparage her, but I could see why Cash would say that. I know who your most problematic guy is. He used to work with us, huh?
Yeah, for a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, you know who else is on that wall is Orange Cassidy.
Oh, is he? Oh, well, he's
going to get smeared.
I'll leave
night
his too up there just because I want to save all my anger and frustration for tomorrow night, because he's in the 10-man tag, too. It's FTR, Tommaso Ciampa, who we've had a long history with, Tommaso Ciampa. FTR, Tommaso Ciampa, and the Dogs against Cope, Cage, the Young Bucks, and Orange Cassidy. So you're going to see a lot of the biggest stars all in one match, and come out support the real Asheville natives, FTR, and watch us win.
Did you hear the one about when the Nasty Boys tried to kill me?
I did. Spartanburg, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Spartanburg, they grabbed you by the shirt and up against the wall,
they
wasn't it?
By the throat.
Jeff Hardy didn't do anything. Cody didn't do anything.
Did you see the famous part of the anatomy for Brian Knobbs, or no?
No.
Okay. We won't say it on the air.
Oh. I'll show you when we get off the
phone. Yeah, my goodness.
Hang on. I don't know if we're talking about junior level as far as the Hoot and Punky guy.
I heard.
No, it's not that one. it's the opposite side of that.
Yeah, whoops. It's shocking.
Are we talking about his ass crack?
Actually, yeah, that too.
You're getting warmer.
All right.
We might have to go take a break and then figure it out.
All right. Tomorrow night, join us. AEW Dynamite, FTR, the natives of Asheville, the natives, okay?
If you can't make it out live, that's totally okay. We'll be live on TBS, live on HBO Max, streaming there. So if you can't make it out, that's all right. Just support us on the air as well.
AEWTix.com, AEWTIX.com. Thank you, boys.
P1 Pride.
Rise Guys really is what does it for me.
This is P1 Pretty Girl 87.
This is P1 Crazy Ass White Boy.
Hey, P1 Rebel Chick. Oh!
Become a P1.
At TheRiseGuys.com.
This is The Rise Guys Morning Show.